Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. Appreciate you being here. For several decades now, man has displayed what we might call an inordinate interest in the earth. Back when I was in high school, in the mid-1950s, a lot of scientists who dealt with the weather were concerned about events that were taking place and the way the weather was going. And the main concern at that time was that a new ice age was coming. It was predicted by many that by the turn of the century, which by the way has been 22 years ago now, the entire northern one-third of the United States would be buried under 10 to 20 feet of ice. We didn't hear that every day like we hear stuff now. Television was in its infancy, at least in the part of the country I lived in. We got two channels from 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And then they played the national anthem. And then there was a test pattern on for the rest of the night if you wanted to set up and try to adjust your antenna to pick up a better picture. There weren't any computers. If I'm not mistaken, IBM built their first computer the year I graduated from high school. And it took up about 3 square blocks. We didn't have social media. Al Gore hadn't even invented the internet yet. So we didn't hear things as often. But we got a daily newspaper and we listened to the radio in the evening and heard Gabriel Heater in the news. And they were forecasting an ice age. 40 years later, it turned to global warming. And the concern became that the earth is going to become so hot that all the ice is going to melt and much of the known world is going to be underwater. Now it's just called climate change. Pollution, the greenhouse effect, the disappearance of ozone, or the overproduction of ozone, are all debated daily in the United States, and we can see it as it happens. Conservation and protection of the environment is not a bad thing. We need to do our part in taking care of the earth. In taking care of the things that God has given us. none of us want to live in a community that's shrouded with smog or drink dirty water, breathe dirty air. But some of the discussions and concerns for the earth give the impression that many who are involved have deified the earth. It has become an object of worship. Webster defines Mother Nature as nature personified as a woman who is considered the source and guiding force of creation. In the passage that Troy read just a few moments ago, Paul said, be careful not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Sometimes man credits himself far more than he should. He credits himself with too much power, thinking that we have the power to significantly damage or even destroy the earth. God created the earth. We know what it says in Genesis, the first chapter. This earth belongs to God. It's His. In Genesis, the first chapter and the first verse, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in the last chapter, last verse of that chapter, it says, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created everything on earth, everything above the earth, everything under the earth, everything inside the earth in 6 days. That's power. That's what our God is capable of. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, it says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. In the heavens, the earth, and the sea, what else is there? He made all of those and everything that's in them in 6 days. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 90, we read, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You established the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. That's written about God, not man. God created this earth. In Colossians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 15, Paul wrote, He is the image of the invisible God. He's writing about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principality or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Some of your translations say through Him and by Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. That's a word we don't use very often. The word consist literally means continue to exist, to endure, to continue to be. This pulpit's been here for 17 years that I know about. Still looks just like it did. It consists, it endures because of Jesus Christ. It continues to exist and doesn't appear to change. Not only did God create the earth, we've already read He created everything that's in it. He created man to dwell in it. Genesis, again, chapter 1, in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So man has some power. Man has dominion over the animals, over the plants, over the fish in the sea, birds in the air, and everything that creeps on the earth. But the earth is God's. This refutes the theory of evolution. Including theistic evolution, which is a hybrid of creationism and evolution. God created man in His image and gave him dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In Acts chapter 17, Luke writes here, beginning in verse 24, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." You know, I started this lesson by giving you a pretty good hint as to how old I am. It's been during my lifetime that people were able to understand what that passage we just read means. Before World War II, doctors were giving blood transfusions, but they never crossed racial lines. Do you know why? Because they were convinced that if they gave someone's blood from another race to a Caucasian, he'd die. Or if they gave an Oriental's blood to a black person, they'd die. During World War II, the need for blood transfusions became so great at times that they had to try. They had to try to save some lives. And they found out it didn't make one bit of difference whose blood it was. All men have been made of one blood. Now, there are different types. You can't give animal blood to a human. You can't give fish blood to a human. You can't give bird blood to a human. But you can give human blood to a human. He made of one blood every nation on earth. Scriptures also teach us that man's days on this earth are limited. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 15, we read, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." James wrote that man's life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Now that's talking about the individual man. Each one of our individual lives will end. In Chronicles, what we read here, we are all aliens and pilgrims. As were our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. That can mean more than just for the individual. And I believe it does. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. This is after Adam and Eve had committed sin, after they had eaten the fruit that God had commanded them not to eat of, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. We're not going to continue to live here on this earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4 says, one generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. That sounds like when we read that, that what I've been saying for the last 20 minutes is hogwash. The earth abides forever. And there are a lot of people who read that and conclude that that means that the earth is supposed to endure eternally. Sometimes in the scriptures, the word forever means eternally. But very often it means age lasting. Or for a particular age or a particular period of time. When this particular age is done, that will be the forever that it was talking about. David was promised that his seed would sit on the throne of Israel forever. Well, in one sense, we recognize that that could be talking about Christ, or that is talking about Christ, and in that sense, it is forever, eternally. But it was not forever on the throne of Israel because Israel no longer exists. Not as the nation it was at the time that promise was made. But David's seed sat on the throne as long as it existed. And that was the forever that was being promised in that respect. The word forever doesn't always mean eternally. What Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4 really means is that the earth will endure for as long as God wants the earth to endure. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, we read, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. But you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Man's days on this earth are limited. We're not going to be here eternally. God's name is to be proclaimed throughout all the earth. God's name is proclaimed throughout all the earth. In Psalm 135, the psalmist wrote in verse 13, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations." In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We just read a few moments ago about God creating everything that was on the earth. When Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," he didn't mean every created thing. He didn't mean we're supposed to preach to trees and rocks and squirrels and lower animals. He's talking about human beings. One wouldn't think he would have to make that clear, but I heard a preacher on the radio say that that's what he does. He goes out in the woods and preaches to trees and plants and squirrels and rabbits, box turtles, because God said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." That's how mixed up human beings can become. We do that. To believe that the earth is going to endure forever in its present state is a mistake. And it will distort our perspective. That's what that says behind me there on the screen. We're going to leave this earth one of these days. We've been talking about that in our Wednesday evening classes on the resurrection. We just read that this earth is going to be changed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. We need to prepare for that. We need to prepare for the hereafter. Not try to make this earth some kind of a utopia where we can continue to live forever without pollution, without strife and conflict. That life will come in the hereafter, after the resurrection. If you're subject to the gospel's call, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?